quite unusual, not used to having a real conference and seeing everyone in person anymore. It's really wonderful. And so praise the Lord for this opportunity to gather together here with all the saints. And we praise the Lord also for all those who are able to join via Zoom. I hope the Lord has already spoken to each one of us personally. It's one thing to sit in the meeting, but it's another thing to really have the Lord speak to you personally. And that really depends on our heart. And it was good to consecrate our heart anew to the Lord this morning. We see in the Word that God was always a speaking God. But whether that has an effect on each one of us and on an individual, it depends on the condition of the heart. And the Lord can speak very clearly and reveal much about the book of Malachi. But if I don't humble my heart and really give myself fully to the Lord, then it's possible for me to sit here and hear the word, but it just passes me by and it doesn't have the effect that it's meant to have. That's why, particularly during this time of the conference, it's good to really tell the Lord before every meeting, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my heart. I make room in my heart. And I also remove everything. I empty myself of everything that's already in my heart so that your word can really fill it. That's why the Lord is speaking. He's just not speaking here to so we can have a good time. And I think we can see this in the word that's in Malachi. It's not always a nice or a pleasant speaking, but it is a word that is for our timely help in this age, and that can even bring us to perfection. And that's why it's so important for this word also to work and have an effect in us. So let's pray also for one another in these days, that through this conference, the Lord can attain and effect everything that he desires. This time is so precious, and this word has to work, do its work in each one of us. This morning we saw in Malachi chapter 1 how God loved us so much and how in his love he spoke clear warning words. The book of Malachi, it starts with this declaration from the Lord, I have loved you. But we have a certain concept of this. We think that if God loves a person, then he will give that person a wonderful life without any problems or worries. That's perhaps our concept of God's love. But after the Lord said, I've loved you, we see the picture of Jacob and Esau and then many words, warning words. And so we see that God's love is different from our concept. Because he loves us, he chastens us. And the example of Jacob and Esau demonstrates this. In Malachi 1:3, he says, it's at the end of verse 2 and the beginning of verse 3, yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And if we look at the story of Jacob, we might wonder and why the Lord said, Jacob I have loved, because there are few people who had so many problems in their life as Jacob did. He suffered so many things. But we see God's love in that the Lord changed this person, changed Jacob through suffering, and he became Israel. And this example of Jacob and Esau shows what God's purpose is with us today. He wants to transform us from Jacob to Israel. And today it's not just each one of us, but it's the church. He wants us to be the true Israel, God, the Israel of God, a holy and royal priesthood. But don't think that our path is different from Jacob's. Sometimes we might think, oh, maybe I'll make it through without as much suffering. I've certainly thought that. Oh, maybe it's enough to suffer just a little bit. The Lord knows how much is necessary for each one of us. The important thing is to learn to renew our mind and our thinking and not to seek a nice and trouble-free life. Actually, if the Lord were to give me a life without any worries or troubles, that would be the opposite of God's love, because then I would not cry out to him. I would not seek him, and I'd be so content with my life. And I think we've all experienced and can testify that we need suffering, tribulation, in order to cry out to the Lord and to be saved. And in Acts 14:22, says that we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. This is the only way into the kingdom. It's through tribulation. And God really transformed this Jacob through tribulation. This is really God's love. And God's love is also that he addressed the condition of God's people already at this time, at the time of Malachi. When we read these verses, we say, wow, they're so strong. The speaking is so strong in chapter 1. And we haven't even gotten to chapter 2. The speaking is even stronger then. But we have to see that God does this out of love. God's love does not spare us, but much rather it speaks to us, shines with his light. And we have to learn to say, amen. Thank you, Lord, that you give us light. And if we are wise and reasonable, then we would want to acknowledge and recognize our own condition. It's not reasonable to look away. Much more, it is reasonable and it is wise to tell the Lord, show me, give me your light that I can change, that I can repent. So today we continue in Malachi chapter 2. And in Malachi 2, 1 to 4, it says, starting with the heading, God's warning with severe punishment to the unfaithful priests. So it's a warning with severe punishment. We already heard previously about the stern warning to the unfaithful priests, and now he's speaking again to the unfaithful priests, and it says in verse 1, and now, O priests, this commandment is for you. So now there is a commandment, not for the general population of the people and not for the unbelievers, but especially for the priests. And he previously, in chapter 1, verse 6, spoke directly to the priests before. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. This was mentioned already, and I want to emphasize again tonight, this book, Malachi, is really for the priests. Of course, it is part of the scripture, part of God's word, and everyone should read it. But we have to recognize when we're reading it, it is specifically aimed at the priests. And today we desire to be the Lord's priesthood. And then we have to see that this word applies to us. It can't be any clearer. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. Just like in chapter 1, he's speaking directly to the priests. And he's speaking in particular to the condition of his priesthood. And it makes him really angry. And he says here in chapter 2, verse 2 of Malachi, if you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. In chapter 1, the Lord already described some of the things that are displeasing to him. And he already spoke of a curse in verse 14 of chapter 1. Cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male. And in chapter 2, he speaks even more precisely and more clearly about this curse. God is really full of wrath, really angry. And we have to know our God as a God who can become angry, who does not just observe passively when the condition of his people is so fallen as it is here. God will not just overlook it. Many believers think God is so merciful and so full of love that he will overlook everything. And sometimes people will say, oh, no one's perfect. We're all sinners. God loves us just as we are. I think all of us have heard people say things like that. Maybe we've even said these things ourselves. But in Malachi, we have to see, yes, God is full of love. That's why Malachi 1 starts with, I have loved you. But he is also God who is full of wrath. And at that time, the people were outwardly worshiping him, but inwardly their condition was so corrupt that the offerings they brought were not the best of the best as ordained, but it was the worst of the worst. They were supposed to bring the best of the best from their heart, but they brought the absolute worst, the things that nobody wanted anyway. That's what they brought to God. And God had to tell them, you wouldn't bring that to a person, but you want to bring that to me, who is the great king. And I hope that we can empathize more with our God, that we can understand what a shame, how shameful it is when his priesthood is bringing the King of Kings, the greatest king in the universe, the absolute worst of our flock. So God was really angry. And we cannot think that God could not curse his own people. It says here, I will send a curse upon you. It's very difficult for believers to understand that there can be punishment for believers, for Christians. I read about someone today who just could not accept that there is a punishment for believers as well. And I said, all you have to do is read Malachi 2 and you will see. Yes, God is full of love, but he is also righteous and he is holy. And if his people is in such a condition as is described here, then there's not just punishment. Actually, punishment is mild, but it says, I will send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. And this can happen. We've even experienced it, that something that was once a blessing becomes a curse. Blessing to a curse. And we have these verses in Deuteronomy 28. God presented to his people blessing and curse. And he says, if you follow my commandments, then I will bless you. But if you are disobedient and deviate from my commandment, then the curse will come upon you. And the curse is described much more in much greater detail in Deuteronomy 28. The Lord had a lot to say about the condition of his people. We really have to see this. Why? So that we learn to fear our God. I hope we've all really received and absorbed this into our heart. God desires a priesthood that fears him and honors him. And that's why he had to curse them here. Why? Because they would not hear. If you will not hear and if you will not take it to heart. And that should show us that it's so important for us to hear and to listen to what God is saying. Let's not deal with God speaking in a light manner. Let's not take it lightly. You sit here, you hear it, you leave the meeting, and you've already forgotten it the next day. If you really treat the Lord speaking this way, then verse 2 applies to you. That God has spoken to his people, but they did not hear. We don't want to be those kinds of hearers. Much rather, we should really pay attention. Do what the Lord speaks. And really deal thoroughly, handle it in a proper way. A conference is really just there to give us an overview, to give us an initial perspective. But the most important thing is actually for us to go home after the conference and labor in the Word and to really dig into it ourselves. If I leave the conference and I just kind of take the Word lightly and just move on to the next thing, then the question is, what did I really get? Let's really learn from verse 2. Lord, I really want to hear you. I want to take it to heart. When you speak, I want to practice how I listen, how I hear, attentively and thoroughly. And it says here that we have to take the word to heart. That means we have to repent. The evidence that you've really taken the word to heart is that there is repentance and a change. If there's no change in me after this conference and the word in Malachi, I have to ask myself, did I really take this word to heart? It's so good to tell the Lord daily, Lord, change me. Your word should bring forth fruit in me. We should all wrestle with the Lord as Jacob did. Not just to read the word, read the verses that were mentioned in the meeting, but really wrestle with the Lord. Lord, let the word in Malachi really work in me, save me. Don't let me stay as I am. I want this word to really work in me, have an effect in me. But the priests here did not deal with God's word in this way, and that's why God had to curse them. They did not take it to heart to give glory to God's name. It's so important for God's people, for his priests, to bring him glory and fear. As the Lord told us in Matthew 6, the first name of the prayer was, Father, hallowed be your name. In the past, we spoke a lot about the Lord's Prayer, about your kingdom come, your will be done, but we didn't spend so much time on the beginning and even forgot the first verse, Father, hallowed be your name. The most important thing is that the priests would honor, recognize, and acknowledge God. So let us learn as his priests to give him the glory. I want to underline another verse that shows that this word is really for the priests. In Leviticus chapter 10, I think we all know of this occurrence. The two sons, Nadab and Abihu, They brought strange fire. They were drunk. And they did things that were not commanded them. And God devoured them immediately. And then Leviticus 10, verse 3, it says, "And Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy.'" Who are those who come near him? Those are his priests. "And before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. That was the big problem here and why God reacted so strongly. Because the priests must regard him as holy and glorify him before all the people. We've also already heard that if the priest despises the Lord's name, that is shameful before not even God's people, just God's people, but before all the nations. And that's why God emphasized in Malachi 1, from the rising of the sun to its going down, my name shall be praised and also feared. The Lord desires to be glorified and feared by the entire earth, especially his priests. But if the priests don't even fear the Lord, then how should the nations fear the Lord? That's why the priests are so important. The priesthood has an important, really important task for the whole world, for the whole earth. It depends on us what the world situation is. We have to learn. It's good to practice this. When we start our day, not just to pray, "Lord, give me life." That's also a good prayer. We all need life. But also tell the Lord, "Teach me to glorify you today. Let me live a life that really glorifies you." And so let's continue reading in verse 3. These are difficult words to read, but it's healthy food. Malachi 2:3, "Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it." This is the curse of the Lord on his priesthood. If we didn't see these verses with our own eyes, I don't think any of us would have thought that God would do such a thing. The Lord is not talking to the unbelievers here, to the lawless people who are living in a godless way. No, here he's speaking of the priests. "He will spread refuse on their faces." This is the refuse of the offerings that they brought. I don't know that there's anything more demeaning and terrible than to spread refuse in someone's face. "And one will take you away with it." There's one translation that says they will throw the priests onto the dung pile. Even a child can understand this. God will throw them on the mist, the dung. So this is really, it shows us what a serious thing it is to fear God. In verse 4, the German is a little bit different here, but it says that there will be no more growth. And we see this repeatedly in God's word. In 1 Corinthians, he said, "You are babes in Christ." Yeah, you are babies. He says to the Corinthians, you were babies then and you're still in this state. What is that? This is this curse. Because in Corinth at that time, they did so many fleshly things and they did so many shameful things. And that's exactly what it says here in Malachi. I will curse your seed. They remained babies. And that is really the terrible curse. If we believers no longer grow and cannot become mature, that means we can never inherit the kingdom. In order to inherit the kingdom that God has promised us, we have to become mature. If we don't pay attention to the Lord, then we will miss this. Because the seed will be cursed, there will be no growth. In Hebrews, it also says you should already be teachers, but you are still babes. So also in that situation, there were believers who got stuck. They didn't grow. What was the reason for this? You can see it in Hebrews. Because they stopped hearing. They became dull of hearing. They stopped hearing God's word, and then they just stopped growing. They came to a standstill. Then in verse 4 of Malachi chapter 2, he says, then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you. And this is exactly the commandment that is referenced in verse 2 and 3. Why is he sending us this commandment? The reason is in verse 4, that my covenant with Levi may continue. Why is the Lord using such strong language in verses 2 and 3? Because his burden is that his covenant with Levi may continue. Which is to say, God is not saying these words because he just wants to destroy or make the priests feel terrible, but it's because he wants to continue his covenant with Levi. That's really his heart's desire, and that's what we have to see. These verses 2 and 3, we have to recognize what the Lord's intention is in speaking these words. And verse 5 then tells us what this covenant is. What is the covenant that should continue? My covenant was with him, one of life and peace. So here we see some positive words. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So you see, even life and peace have to do with the fear of God. We really have to see this. In the entire book of Malachi, it's clear God desires so much that his people and his priests would fear him. He gives us life and peace with this covenant. But why? So that we might fear him. So don't just say, oh Lord, amen, I want life and peace. But the result has to be that we fear him. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. It's actually a pity that the Lord has to speak in the past tense here, because for his people at that time, it was past tense. But it shows that there was a time where the condition was good, like in Revelation 2 and 3. You see the writings to the churches. The church was in a good condition, but then it fell. You might think, okay, our condition as a church today is not so bad. But what about tomorrow? What about the day after tomorrow? What about next month? It is not good if the Lord can speak of us this way only in the past tense. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. Praise the Lord for this covenant with Levi. And you can read the remainder of these verses under Roman numeral 5. This is a covenant with his people to have a holy and royal priesthood. And that was God's plan from the very beginning. Many of us have heard this for many years, but some of us who are newer among us may not have heard it yet. From the very beginning, God desired to have his people, but not just a people. But as it says in Roman numeral 5a, a royal priesthood. And all the verses that follow in parentheses there need to be on our heart. These are really important verses. These verses show us God's plan to have a priesthood. And this plan has been God's plan in eternity. It's not something that is limited to the Old Testament. We cannot think that God's purpose is limited or the priesthood is limited to the Old Testament, but it's an eternal purpose. Peter spoke in the New Covenant that we should be built up to a holy priesthood, and Revelation even speaks of it. Amen. That we're redeemed by his blood to be kings and priests. And not even just in the New Covenant, but the priesthood is also the central burden on God's heart. In eternity, in the millennial kingdom, who will reign? It will be the priests. The priests are those who will reign in the millennial kingdom. Nobody else. It's the priests. And even in eternity, in the New Jerusalem, in Revelation 22, verse 3, says, so wonderful, it says that his servant shall serve him. So may this really be written, engraved in our hearts. This really has to be engraved in our hearts that the Lord desires to have the priesthood. And that's why the speaking, the word of God in Malachi is so strong, because he has this heart's desire and he wants to wake up this priesthood that has become dull of hearing, that has fallen asleep, even if it means he has to spread refuse on their faces. So Lord, let us really take this priesthood so seriously, because that is what God wants to have in for all eternity. It is the way to prepare ourselves for the millennial kingdom and for eternity. It's the priests who will be reigning. And why is it a covenant of life? Because if we see the story of God's people, we'll see in Exodus 19, he spoke to his whole people. He desires actually that all believers would be priests, not just a small group. It's actually a calling for everyone. But what happened? Well, we can read about it in God's word. The tribe of Levi was thinned out or reduced, not because God desired it, but because the people were unfaithful. Only the tribe of Levi answered Moses' call to stand on the Lord's side. It's not as though God said just randomly, oh, I just want to reduce the number of people who can be priests, so now it's just the tribe of Levi. But it was actually the people who caused this reduction or this thinning out, because all the other tribes did not stand on God's side. They strayed from God. And it's the same today. God desires for all Christians to be priests in spirit and in reality, in truth, with Christ as the offerings and as the feasts. This applies to all believers. We can't sit here and think, well, this is our topic. this is actually for all believers around the world. But what is our experience today? What's the reality? Most believers don't want to know or hear anything about the priesthood. And if you tell them about it, there's not much of a reaction. So today there's also a reduction or thinning out. Again, not because God desires it, but because his people don't desire it, don't desire the priesthood. And so after this situation in Exodus, God made a covenant with the tribe of Levi. And then we see in subsequent multiple steps, God had to continue to reduce those who were qualified. So within the tribe of Levi, it was just Aaron and his sons. And then there was one called Phinehas, who was the grandson of Aaron. In Numbers 24, 10 to 13, he was zealous for God and he stood on God's side. And God strengthened the covenant with Levi. So this covenant is God's covenant with his priesthood. But in the end, it's really a covenant just with those who stand faithfully on his side. And this covenant of life and peace includes God's, the fear of God. Yeah, the fear of God belongs and is part of this covenant. In Isaiah 11 and verses 2 and 3, it describes the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Yeah, this point, the fear of the Lord is important. And verse 3, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. Oh Lord, I think if you would ask one of us, which of these six characteristics in verse 2 do you like the most? Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord. If we were to do a survey among us, choose one of these six, which do you like the most? I'd be interested in the results. But of course, we probably would have to do the survey before we read the verse. Now, of course, everyone would say it's the fear of the Lord, but I think in our natural selves, we would probably choose anything but the fear of the Lord. I would probably choose might, but the others are pretty good too. But his delight is in the fear of the Lord. And if we search God's word for mentions of the fear of the Lord, we will see there are so many wonderful verses about the fear of the Lord. It leads to life. It preserves us from death. It preserves us from evil. In Proverbs, it even says, is the source of life. So if we want to experience life and peace, we need the fear of the Lord. If we fear the Lord, we will have life and peace. And praise the Lord. The fear of the Lord is part of and included in this Spirit. And so if we receive the anointing, then we also receive this fear. And so we should pray to the Lord, Lord, let me experience the Spirit more in this particular aspect. Let me gain more of the fear of the Lord. That will really be a blessing to us. We have this fear of the Lord abundantly in our heart. And then you can actually read verses 6 and 7 on your own. It's in the outline in Roman numeral 5. Really, I encourage you to read these verses in Roman numeral 5 point C. This is really good food for us. These verses 6 and 7. let us really go to the Lord after the conference and really deal with these verses, consider these verses before him. Because these two verses show us how priests are messengers of the Lord. We already heard yesterday, priests are messengers of the Lord of hosts, and that is a powerful thing. The messenger speaks what God's word is for his people, and verses 6 and 7 show us this. Four times the mouth and the lips are mentioned in verses 6 and 7. Our speaking is so important. We should be messengers of the Lord and speak the holy words of God. How can you speak holy things if you are corrupt? It doesn't work. That's why it says the law of truth was in his mouth and injustice was not found on his lips. And that was also the case with Isaiah. Before God could send him, what did he have to do? He had to touch his lips with coal. And today we also have to say, Lord, touch my lips. I can only encourage you to bring these verses to the Lord and to pray to the Lord. Lord, deal with my speaking, that no injustice would be found on my lips. And one trait of the first fruits in Revelation 14 is there was no deceit in their mouth. Our tongue really can cause so much damage. And that's why the word says you should be slow to speak. And slow to anger. And sometimes we are the opposite. We speak so quickly and then something slips out and then it's difficult for us to repair the damage we caused. So we should be slow to speak and quick to hear. And you have to tell the Lord, Lord, there shall be no injustice found on my lips. And then it addresses in verse 6 our walk. He walked with me in peace and equity. And then that turned many away from iniquity. If we walk in this covenant of Levi, fear the Lord and speak what the Lord has on his heart, then the Lord will be able to use us to turn many away from iniquity. May the Lord really sanctify us and through our walk, turn many away from iniquity.